This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Drivers, beware. Next time you cut off a cyclist on the road, you may find yourself at the mercy of a vengeful wrestler named Crazy Legs. Crazy Legs earned her nickname for her cycling ability. Legend has it she once biked from Minnesota to Mexico, but she earned respect for her fighting skills in the ring. She is the reigning champion of Luchadoras, an event inspired by a Mexican tradition of lucha libre, professional freestyle wrestling. Luchadoras also raises awareness about social causes that affect communities in North Carolina. This weekend's matches will support the NC Dream Team, an organization that advocates on behalf of undocumented immigrants. Here to tell us more about Luchadoras is Areli Barrera. She is one of the event's organizers, and she's in the ring as La Sirenita de Tijuana, or the Little Mermaid of Tijuana. Areli, welcome. Good to have you here.
Thanks for having us.
Also with us, Alicia Torres, member of the NC Dream Team, and Areli's partner in the ring. Her luchadora name is La Aguila Dorada, the Golden Eagle. Was I close, Alicia?
Yes.
Not bad, huh? Welcome. Thanks. Areli, lucha libre is wildly popular in Mexico, and it has been for some time. Tell us about that sport.
Okay. It started in roughly 1933, mostly as a diversion sport, and slowly grew into a very popular culture.
And describe it for us, because it's a little like, how closely related is it to professional wrestling in this country, would you say?
It's pretty close. The difference is it's more acrobatic. I feel like it's possibly the physique of the Mexican male, and, you know, that makes it a little different. They're not as
bulky.
Buff.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it gives them the chance to, like, you know, kind of fly per se in the ring.
And the costumes are a huge part of it, right?
Yeah,
and persona.
Absolutely.
So these guys take on characters.
Right. I think almost all wrestlers take on characters, right. But in this one, they're mostly known for having the masks on. But not all luchadores have to have a mask.
But they do have a persona, right?
I mean, yeah,
there's another name. And are there many women involved in Mexico?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I'm not quite sure when women started wrestling. I know it was like shortly after the sport started getting.
Yeah, and so what brought this sport to Durham?
I think it was just a love for it. And King Kenny, shout out, was talking to me about wanting to do some really cool cultural events. And I think he, you know, also watched it and loved it and decided that he wanted to train women to do it. And
when did you first see it? Was it in Tijuana?
Yes. When I was really young, my uncle would take me and my cousin to watch them. And ever since I moved to the U.S., it was just something that I really liked.
What about at the time when you first saw it? Were you hooked? How did you feel?
Oh, yeah. No, I absolutely loved it. My sisters and my brother would tell me that I cried because I was like 5 years old when I watched it. So you can imagine it's kind of intense and a little scary.
A little scary.
Yeah.
Because guys are getting slammed around and they got masks and sometimes they're coming
your way. The crowd goes crazy. Yeah. If you get to a match in Mexico, they're like screaming and, you know, their fists are up in the air. It's pretty magical.
King Kenny says, what do we do here? You get a little nostalgic and say, you know, we ought to do that here.
Oh, I was like, yes, absolutely. I'm so over that.
Well, this is an event. The proceeds are going to support the NC Dream Team. Alicia, you're a member. Tell us a little bit. Remind us what the Dream Team is doing.
For sure. Well, the NC Dream Team, and I'm sure Viridiana has been on the show before. What it is, it's basically a community-based team, community-based group that's composed of community members who are, most of whom are undocumented. And so all of our efforts go into raising the voices and the problems that the undocumented community here in North Carolina is facing, injustices, which would include injustices and whatnot. And so we are very proud and happy, you know, that the proceeds from Luchadoras will go to us. And so, and me being a fighter in it and a member of the NC Dream Team, it's just very, very awesome because I get to see through the, you know, the whole spirit of Luchadoras. It sort of reminds me constantly of the struggles that NC Dream Team is facing. Sort of like it always puts you at this, like, oh my gosh, maybe the odds are so enumerating, but somehow you're able to overcome them all. And so it's very cool.
You're not only a member of the Dream Team, but you're also a member of the Little Mermaids tag team. You're going to be in the ring, huh?
Not the Little Mermaids. Let's see, Denise at Tijuana.
That's right.
but yes, we are the tag team, and we call ourselves Las Justicieras. We do call ourselves Las Justicieras, and so it is very much so it speaks. Like Adeli was mentioning earlier, that the whole, it's actually like a culture. It's not, in Mexico, luchadoras, it's more of a, it's a cultural phenomenon. It's very big in Mexico City and whatnot, but it has definitely extended to other parts of Mexico, in which a luchador, you know, has like a big mission. And through this big mission, you know, like through his persona, creates a large following. And so once that happens, you know, the luchador can actually introduce like, I don't know, maybe like a social cause. And because of the big following that he has, can actually take some sort of action or ask, demand for his followers to take some form of action. There are legendary luchadores like El Santos, you know, who were very like acrobatic and well-known. But they took their persona, like, outside the ring. You know, they would, basically their character became their lives. They would never be, they would never walk outside without their mask. And so people really try to follow them, or to, I don't want to say, like, be them, but whatever El Santos was doing, whatever El Santos was supporting, then the people would go out and support, you know?
Right. Well, so they really are. They do act as kind of heroes in a way.
Yeah,
they're bigger
absolutely.
Than life in many ways. Acrobatic. They can do things that apparently you can't in the ring. A lot of jumping around and all that sort of thing. And the persona that they adopt then allows you, I suppose, the imagination to imagine yourselves in other places doing other things. And in many ways, transcending your current situation here. So it's got a lot of that. And so you now, Arely, you originally for the first Luchadores event were the MC.
I was, yeah.
What made you decide to get in the ring?
Well, I actually debated whether I wanted to do it the first time, and then after seeing it happen, I was like, okay, I'm ready for this.
Now, well, you brought with you your mask, and
I did.
I have been taunted and challenged to put on your mask because, you know, we have a superhero of our own.
Yeah.
Jade City Pharaoh. And we're trying to get we'd love it if we can keep it going. And we've got a Kickstarter campaign going to support the City Pharaoh on this program so we can keep, you know, kind of paying the actors. So if I put on this mask, not only can I ask people to go to your event, I've got it. This is, by the way, fantastic. Where'd you get the mask? Did you make this?
No, I got it in Tijuana.
So you brought this with you.
Yes.
Have you had it all this time?
I have. Well, not since I was six. I mean, I went back to visit.
But I mean, did you have it before the Luchadores?
Oh, yeah.
Now I'm honored, actually, to put on the mask.
He's got the mask on. It's awesome.
I've got the mask on, the headphones off, and the glasses off. I am both as super powerful and as vulnerable as I can
possibly
be.
What is your luchador name?
Luchador would be Frank the Tank.
Awesome.
Frank the Tank is who I am. And Nikolai, who's about to perform a little later in the program, and his group Foreign Exchange gave me that name. So it's all coming together beautifully. What about the training? I mean, do you have to, you know, you don't just get in the ring and start dancing around. You have to know what to do, right?
Right. It's been a learning process. Obviously, we're not professionals. We're just, you know, local people that are interested in this. So, we have two trainers, which is King and Kirill Rice.
You're having a very hard time answering this question because you're talking to a guy in a luchador mask. And I can see that I now have no credibility. This is kind of cool. Alicia, tell us a little bit more about the Dream Team and what is the latest, because the last time we talked with you, I think there was a hunger strike going on.
Actually, it was quite after that. You've spoken to Viridiana Martinez, and I remember. Well, since then, you know, obviously, probably the last time we talked to you, we were actually there with Mr. Gein. And so what has happened since then is we are kind of finding ourselves from the failing of the passage of the Dream Act in 2010, December 2010, you know, we came back knowing that the battle was going to be local here in North Carolina. And so we've actually been bombarded with end cases, which stand for education on deportation, And so we've been working a lot on stopping the deportations. And hopefully soon here, we'll be working on something more, how should I say, like comprehensive, to where maybe along the lines of trying to introduce some an ordinance similar to what has been introduced in Chicago, Illinois, in Illinois, or also in California, where counties actually can try and opt out and pass an ordinance of noncompliance with programs such as SCOM and 287G. You know, because regardless of what Secretary General Napolitano is saying, that there is no option of opting out, we know that there is. And so it's basically more of getting the community together and saying, you know what, we're not going to take no for an answer. We know our rights. We can opt out of this. And the first step in doing so is we're going to pass an ordinance of noncompliance. Now, there are a lot of, like, things that go into it.
Well, Alicia, I think we're going to leave it right there. But I do thank you for being on the show, and Aureli, and I wish you both luck. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us. And we take a last opportunity to invite everybody out to Lutilotas tomorrow at 12 in Durham at Motor Co.
12 and under is free.
That sounds great. Alicia Torres, member of the North Carolina Dream Team, and Aureli Barrera, organizer of this weekend's Luchadoras event at Motorco Music Hall in Durham. You know, it's hard to talk with this mask on. Luchadoras.tumblr.com for more information. And coming up on the state of things, by the way, you can also go to Kickstarter and type in Jade City, and you can throw in a few bucks there, too. So it's all good. And coming up, a Kenyan writer considers the role of artists in promoting peace and during political turmoil. On the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Stay tuned.